Welcome back to the Ministry Talk podcast. We've enjoyed the conversation we've had the last several weeks in our episodes talking about the five prongs to outreach. We're going to continue this week with the idea of care evangelism. And I think it's going to be a great one this week. Pastor Hal, if you don't mind starting with some establishing thoughts on what care evangelism is, in your words.
Yeah, I'll start with an establishing thought. I walk into this to record this podcast. I'm on the phone out there in the hallway, and all I hear is like arguments back and forth. So I can just open up an argument and just you guys just go like,
keep going.
And right, I'll sit back and watch and eat popcorn. No. So with this particular prong of outreach, it is the one that is probably the most evidenced. Yes. Where we're trying to meet actual physical, mental, social needs. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll call it like a social gospel, mm-hmm. where you're trying to reach people where they're at. Examples of this would be perhaps a substance use disorder ministry, an addiction ministry, where you're helping people overcome real life issues and problems and struggles that they have. You may have some PTSD or mental struggles in this, anxiety, panic, trauma that someone's experienced in, where you're counseling and where you're dealing with this one-on-one or in group. It may be a grief-based ministry, mm-hmm. Which these things we offer so far, right? And where people have experienced the loss of a loved one, you're trying to meet those needs in a very specific way. A food pantry, where we try to hand out food to those who are less fortunate. A bus ministry, where we're trying to help people who cannot come to church come to church. All of these things are meeting needs for the sake of the gospel. We find the example in Scripture. Jesus Christ went about doing good, and he met needs not just to heal, all right, but for the sake of the gospel.
That's right.
Right, to authenticate, yep. his ministry, to show his deity, and then the platform for his message as well. So that's what I would classify as need-based evangelism, and we're talking about this kind of this problem.
So with you sharing those, I think anybody listening, even for us on the table, we would all agree like that all sounds good.
Yeah.
Should we be doing more of it, less of it, right? That could be a question that maybe some listeners have. But what could be, and we could start, I guess, in this avenue, what could be the downsides of having the care evangelism in your church or making this a priority and not maybe with some of the other prongs that we've talked about?
Well, I can answer the downsides, but you guys are having a great discussion about the downsides. Maybe you guys should weigh in on the downsides.
So I think, Pastor Ryan, you need to start with the right church.
Yeah, I mean, I think for a lot of churches, it can become a distraction from what is truly most important, which is the gospel, which is discipleship, which is the spiritual side of things. That's what we're called to do as a church. Now, not to say we're not called to care for people. We are called to care for people, and I believe we're a church that does that. But growing up on the mission field, I definitely firsthand got to see missionaries in churches that made the mistake of making this caring for physical problems the priority. And what happens is you kind of become an aid organization over being a church, right? There's a lot of different ways you see this. One of the most prevalent, and a term that a lot of people have probably heard, is a rice church. In other words, you're giving out rice every week or once a month or whatever it may be to everyone who comes to your church. And I mean, people are hungry. People need food. Like, this is a need. It's a good thing they're helping meet this need. But what happens then is the moment the rice stops, there is no longer a church. Because what they've done is they've created a place that people simply just come to get rice. And there's a lot of different versions of this. Teaching English, right? My dad he's helped provide people with food. He's taught English at our church before, but that has never become the main thing that we are. I've seen a lot of missionaries whose church becomes an English school, and they'll have more people come to their English classes than they have come to church on Sunday because the focus has shifted to the wrong thing. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do those things. Offering some English classes in order to get a bunch of people there and give them the gospel and hopefully get them into your church is a good thing. But we need to make sure our focus is on the right thing. And I think one of the downsides is you can just put all your time, all your energy into providing for people's needs and completely miss what it's really all about, and that is the gospel. And meanwhile, you're kind of enabling these people and training these people that what a church is. It's not a place for spiritual growth. It's a place that you come get in line and get your physical needs met. So I think that that is a danger that we have to watch out for as we do care evangelism.
Yeah.
I have been doing addiction ministry for 23 years, and I've seen many ministries that, and I've done some of it where we'll feed them, we'll have fellowships and that. And what happens is that fellowship becomes the main thing, and they said, oh, we got to make this bigger, we have to make it better, and pretty soon they have a full meal. Well, then everybody's coming for the meal, and when the budget is not able to meet that, then their whole addiction ministry falls apart because they become the place that is just bringing everybody looking for the free meal. Mm-hmm. And which you can go lots of places in Saginaw and get a free meal. We need to be the place that has maybe food at different times and has that, but they know that if they come here, this is where they get the gospel. This is where they get love. This is where they get accepted. This is where they get the word of God, and they're discipled. And that may be an accusation against us. That's all you care about is God. Well, praise the Lord. But that becomes the main thing. And I think any time that those lures become greater than relationship with God, then you have a problem.
Mm-hmm. I think one way that I've heard people say the tail starts wagging the dog, right? Those things that are, not that they don't need to be there, but they're less important. Christian school, food pantry, addictions ministry becomes more important than the gospel and the church, the ministry of the church.
It's like the bus kid who, when you knock on the door, says, what are we having this week? And the main purpose of him asking that is to see whether or not he's going to come. Mm. You're probably not doing it right.
So I guess, Pastor Hal, as a pastor, and for those pastors listening, the question could be then, where's the balance, or how do you find the balance in meeting some of these needs that are there? Right?
Yes, so where's the balance? Isn't that the question?
Isn't that the question?
That as the pastor is the one who has to answer to the Lord for this.
Yes.
Is the one who will give an account for how I've led the church.
We can all argue about it, but at the end of the day, we're just going to do whatever you say.
Yeah. That's right. And if you don't like it, be like, hey, that's stupid. But I'll support you, but I do it differently. So I guess the real question is, right, how have I tried to navigate this?
Yeah.
Because I can only answer for me.
Yeah, sure.
And for now, First Baptist Church ministry, right? So the bus ministry, we still have a bus ministry. We altered it just a little bit after COVID. Obviously, during COVID, we had to stop running buses for a little while. And now we've tried to really make the focus on relational discipleship growth with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
How that looks is in our teen class, right? They sing hymns like out of a hymnal. It is not just come in and be all wound up and like, here's a hot dog, though I'm not afraid to give things away. That cannot be the foundation for the bus ministry. It must be those who are coming who are going to provide a ride for the church. That's a need. You want to come to church, but you can't get there on your own.
Yeah.
So the need is lack of a ride to church. We provide you a ride. And what we're looking for are those who are serious and dedicated and committed. And if someone is there and gets into some serious trouble pretty quickly, then they're asked not to come on a bus. They can always come to church. Their parents can bring them, and I would love that. But if you're going to ride the bus to church, you have to show some discipleship characteristics. And that has meant for us that perhaps our bus routes do not have as many kids as they used to have on them, but there are multiple times throughout the year that we do not run buses. That will say, like, next week is a non-bus week. And on those days, we will have a number of people drive the church with their families.
Yeah.
I think one of the coolest examples was the two children want to get baptized. Mm-hmm. And so for baptism, we typically ask that we can baptize them on a non-Sunday morning service. So we'll run buses Sunday morning, but listen, come back Sunday night with your parents so they can see you get baptized. Let's stop by your house. Let's make sure you understand what's going on. Our goal is not just to get them in the tank, but to have them follow the Lord in discipleship and in baptism, right, in obedience to the Lord. And I remember it was a Wednesday night when there was a family brought their two kids to get baptized, and there were 13 of them that sat through a Bible study.
That's awesome.
They came on a Wednesday night, and I was really glad for that. And I'm not trying to make it difficult for people, and that's kind of the conundrum, but trying to say, listen, this is what we're about, and trying to balance it. So for me, it's a tough balance to know how can we meet needs, because I want to meet needs.
Yeah.
But know that if I offer free food, we could pack out the place. But what are we accomplishing? If we offered the rice, quote-unquote, right? We could pack out the place in a sense, but what are we truly accomplishing? And I want people to see the kingdom of God. So the other balance in this is that there's five prongs, right? There's confrontational evangelism. There's the care evangelism. There's the media. There's a relational. And then there's the event. And if we allow any single prong to really dominate, we are at the expense of something else.
Sure, yeah.
And so one balance is making sure that we're just trying to carefully apply God's truth and gospel across the gamut of everything. Am I building meaningful relationships with people? And I got to answer yes or no. Yeah. Am I trying to run some events, get people to church? Yes or no. Am I trying on media? Am I confrontational or personally trying to witness? And then am I trying to do need? And people often get locked into just one category.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, and that's the whole bag of tricks.
With that, is there maybe some advice or maybe even some examples in the ministries that we're a part of where as a pastor who's doing this and who's caring and trying to meet some of these needs in their community maybe feels like, hey, man, we're doing this stuff and we're trying to do it the right way and share the gospel, but it feels like we're always being taken advantage of. Is there any advice in there or maybe how you should treat those situations? Because as we all know, we have been taken advantage of at times in ministry and trying to help some of these needs. You know, I have examples. When I was in college, we had a big homeless community there in Lancaster. And we would go out and it was part of the things we did as college students. And we would try to give them food, but share the gospel with them as well. And there'd be all these guys, hey, do you have $5 or a dollar? I need food. But they would, of course, take it and try to fill the addictions that they have. And of course, you know, knowing that, but yet for pastors who are trying to use their budget wisely and the resources that God has given them wisely and maybe feel like, hey, man, we just keep getting taken advantage of. How can we encourage them to, like, keep going? You know, because we still have to meet those needs as Jesus Christ has commanded us to.
I think we'll always be taken advantage of.
Yeah.
I think people really took advantage of Christ,
sure.
You know, as we see through the Gospels. And so that's the nature of the world. But the Word of God does not return without void. So if we make sure that we stay on that main thing, it's neat to see how God works. Pastor Ouellette used to teach, they always come back if you love them. I've had many people walk out because I gave truth and we're trying to help them walk in the right path and they didn't like what I was saying. But I cannot think of a single student that hasn't eventually come back. I had one that I said, everyone but one. But recently, after 17 years, he walked back in my office and he said, Pastor Scott, I still have the Bible you gave me, and you're the only person who loved me. Will you help me? And so, you know, I think if we show them Christ and we show them love, even though we may not be able to give them the money that they want and may not be able to accomplish what they're trying to manipulate us to do, if we show them love and we stay consistent in the gospel, we'll see good fruit.
You've had your vehicle stolen a few times in the process.
12 times.
And
the last time I arrived on the red eye at 5:30 in the morning, and the person supposed to pick me up stole it and was gone for 5 days with it.
And I've only had my vehicle stolen once.
Only once.
Yeah. So I have a long way to go.
I'm a better Christian.
No doubt about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that we need to remember is, as we are loving people, it's not for we're loving Christ. It's because of our love for Christ. And like the Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, that what we do unto the least of these, we're doing to Christ, right? And whether it be somebody at the gas station who needs some gas in their car, there's a dual purpose. One, I want to be a testimony to that person and show love to that person so they'll come to Christ. But also I'm not doing it for them necessarily as much as I'm doing it for Christ. And so people will take advantage of us. But I think really what's important is, like Pastor Scott, he kind of touched on it, is loving people. And there's going to be times that love translates into different things. Just like with your kids, love does not mean giving your kids what they want every single time. Sometimes loving them means saying no, because that's what's best for them. And I think the same is true with people who may be trying to take advantage of you, or more than that, what they want isn't what's good for them. There is a different path that would be better for them. Or like you mentioned, Pastor Galdamez, like somebody who's going to take that money and then go harm themselves with that money. Well, then obviously loving that person isn't giving them more money, because you're only enabling them and hurting them. So trying to show love to them and, that, like I said, that love may not be simply just like, oh, let me give you everything you want. Sometimes it's guiding them in the right direction, so that they can find Jesus Christ and they can find the true answer to whatever their problem may be.
I think on the opposite side of that, There's a lot of times we have to say yes that we're not comfortable. It's sometimes easier for us to give a hot dog or give money do it. But what they actually need is going into our uncomfort zones. There was a missionary to the lepers when I was a teenager. And as I was getting ready to go to Bible college, he did a slide presentation. In every picture, he was sitting eating with the lepers. He was praying with the lepers in their houses. And afterwards, I walked up and I said, how do you do that? He said, well, we figured out how to keep my immune system so I don't get leprosy. But he said, not many people reach the lepers, even though they may have ministries to it, because they're not willing to eat, sleep, and be part of them. And I found in addiction ministry, there's a those people mentality. And I had to decide a long time ago that I had to, the people that God had for me to minister, they get to eat in my house. You come to my house at Christmas Day, table's full of my people. And it's not those people. And I think that's one of the biggest things as we're in care ministry. You cannot look like I'm here and this is who I'm ministering to.
Sure.
You have to say, but by the grace of God, there go I. That's why my car's been stolen 12 times, is because it's not my car, it's God's. My house is not my house. We don't keep money in my house. That's public, so you don't rob it. But it's been robbed multiple times. People break in the house, they don't find anything. But you make yourself vulnerable. But I think we have to stop protecting ourselves and just serve.
Yeah, that's good.
I would submit that we often don't know.
Yeah,
okay. Right? We don't know where this money at the gas station will go.
Yeah.
Sure. And our cynicism, right, on one side, is like, I know what they're going to use it for. Sure. And then someone else who perhaps is geared with a lot of empathy and spiritual gift of empathy and compassion is like, you know what, take my last dollar.
Yeah.
But we don't know. I mean, often we can be surprised by the gift or the display of love or the care. And it's, for me, the Spirit of God trying to be sensitive. Lord, is this a time to meet this need? Is this a time to help perhaps with a rent payment? Is it time to help with gas? Or is this a time where they need something different, because we don't have perfect perspective like Jesus Christ did? And he always knew. But so I'm trying to pray each time and say, Lord, what is this? And I've given money away and thought that was a waste, and been surprised and given one away, and thought that's really going to be the one that does it. And you're like, you never see anything ever again from it.
Yeah. That is a great point. I keep a little purple octopus on my desk. Everybody's like, why do you have that? It's to remind me of exactly what you just said. There was a man who came in and said, my grandson is in the car. We have to get to Ann Arbor. He has eye surgery scheduled and I don't have enough gas to get down there. And I hear stories every day. I was cynical, but I felt the Lord said, help him. And I gave him the money and he said, I want you to come meet my grandson. And we walked out and there was a grandson and he definitely had eye trouble. And he said, we're going to have your surgery today and this man is paying for you to be able to get there, which it wasn't me. It was good people at First Baptist Church. And the boy looked at me. He's only 3 years old. And he said, thank you so much. I've been praying I could go have my surgery today. And he hands me his purple octopus. I went to hand it back. He said, no, that's for you. And I keep that on my desk to remind me not to be such a cynical jerk, you know, because that's my nature.
Or he had a whole box of purple octopus in the back of his car. That's terrible. Hey, throughout Saginaw, every single church is a purple octopus.
That's their scam.
I think I got one of the purple octopus as well.
Mine was red. But that's where our minds go, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. And so easily can.
Yeah.
In maybe a small church situation, maybe doesn't have the resources that maybe some of the bigger churches can, maybe some advice or some guidance on how a small church can help meet some of these physical needs in a care evangelism, maybe doesn't have the finances to maybe start a food pantry or give money to anybody that shows up or different things like that.
So I think it's safe to say everybody can do something.
Yes.
Yeah. Every ministry can do something. So perhaps you can't run the ministry need-based one that you want to run, but you can do something.
Yes.
You can help, and perhaps you're like, listen, I got some people who have some struggles. Well, then, you know, we can help you get set up to run a ministry that can help just one or two in struggles. You don't have to say, well, I don't have 100 people or 200 people here with struggles, so I can't run that whole ministry. We'll get one person to help one other person. You're now in the care of evangelism. And you're like, well, I can't buy, you know, a bus, but there's three kids. Well, then you find a family who can pick up three kids.
Amen. On Sunday,
and now you're in the bus ministry. All right, you're meeting people. And So I think every church can do something.
You
can find it and meet those needs, and the Lord will guide you because your community is different than our community. Mm-hmm. And I am not worried about your community. I'm worried about this community and what we need here in Saginaw, Bridgeport, Birch Run, in that area.
Yeah. And I think that's so true even in bigger churches where you might have some people who feel like, well, we're doing all this stuff, there's nothing I can do. But even in some churches, there's always something someone can do.
Yeah. So for sure.
Inside of that. No, thank you so much, guys, for sharing those things. I think Pastor Hal, just a short thought and encouragement as we try to end these podcasts regarding maybe care evangelism or anything that the Lord's put on your heart?
Yeah, this morning I was reading about Joseph. Back in Genesis, where it said the Lord caused what he did to prosper.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's what we pray for.
Yeah.
Right? If the Lord would do it for Joseph, I will hope he'd do it for us.
Yes.
And I was praying this morning, Lord, would you just cause today to be prosperous from your perspective, from what you do, and not just from what I can figure out and plan out. And in this evangelism, right, I don't want to be prosperous just because we have the right pieces in place and because offered something so the buses are full and the addictions ministry is full and the food pantry is meeting a lot of needs. I want to be prosperous so that God looks down and says, I've touched that ministry.
Yes.
I've touched that place. I've touched that man, that woman, that child, and I'm prospering them. And maybe we won't always see the same prospering. Because I was caught when I read that when Joseph prospered, like the next story, he's in jail.
Sure.
And he was still prospering from God.
Yes.
And so maybe when God calls us to prosper, it doesn't look like it's going to look. But if that's he's prospering, point, yeah. if I have faith that he's prospering it, well, then I'm content. Then I'm happy, whatever it may look to me.
Amen. Thank you once again for joining us for this Ministry Talk podcast episode. Once again, if there's anything that we can do to be a blessing to you out there who are listening or watching, please let us know and reach out. We love to be a blessing and encouragement to you. God bless.
And Purple Octopuses, 1995, here at First Baptist Church.